Now, today's message is a little different. If you want to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'm going to refer to part of a verse in verse 10, Ecclesiastes 9:10, but in Colossians in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3. So if you know where Colossians is, not so sure where Ecclesiastes is, turn to Colossians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, a little different message today, talking about why I love my church and why you ought to love your church and why God is blessing you through your church. And I want to talk to you about something that's a little bit different today, kind of a different topic. And I'll kind of intro it like this. When the Jewish worshipers went to the temple with their sacrifices, think with me. When they went to the temple with their sacrifices, what kind of sacrifices did they offer to God? Was it, we got this one lamb here. It was born, it's kind of a sickly one. It's kind of the runt. It's probably not going to put on a lot of weight. We're probably not going to be able to, it doesn't look like it's going to produce a lot of wool. And I know it won't be very good for the market. So, let's just offer that. Is that the kind of sacrifice? No. Did they offer us maybe a lamb that was blind, couldn't see? Did they offer a blind lamb as a sacrifice? No. A lame lamb? Lame lamb? That's hard to say. Did they offer a lame lamb as their sacrifice? No. What did they offer? The very best they had. That was what they were supposed to offer. The very best that they had. So with that as kind of a predication here, one without spot or blemish, the first fruits, the very best. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, and it begins by saying, whatever you do, do well. Whatever you do, do well. Without reading the rest of the verse, I'm not going to twist it and turn it to mean something it doesn't say, but whatever you do, according to the word of God, we ought to do well. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatever you do in word or deed, in what you say or in your actions, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Someone said, if it bears his name, it deserves our very best. I read through the Bible every single year, and not long ago I was reading through again about Solomon's temple, and I don't know if you understand, if you've ever done a study on the temple, but it was about 90 feet, it was 90 feet long approximately, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. So 90 by 30 by 45 feet high. The holy place inside of the temple was cedar paneled and overlaid with pure gold. Can you imagine that? The walls inside overlaid with pure gold. The furnishings were solid gold. They weren't overlaid with gold. They were solid gold. In the Holy of Holies, the cherubim, the angels that were on the mercy seat, were overlaid with gold. Their wings were touching in the middle and onto the walls. And above the ark, it was all plated in gold with a gold mercy seat. Carvings were gold. It was elaborate. It was the very best. Now, here's what I think about this, is whatever we do in word or deed, we do all to the glory of God, and we do best, the best that we possibly can. Obviously, in America, we're very blessed, and we're able to do so many things with so much more ease, with the technology we have, with the opportunities we have, with the by comparison, riches, absolute riches that we have compared to most of the world. So I think that what we do as Christians, what you do as a member, if you're a member of First Baptist Church, or if you're not, if you're a Christian, you still have responsibility to do the best you can with what you have, with what God has gifted you with. As I told the kids a moment ago, God has given you, when he saved you, he gave you gifts. He gave each of you abilities. He meant for you to use them in the church, in worship in the church. So with that as kind of an introduction, first point is this: evangelism demands our best effort. Evangelism outreach demands our very best effort. Pat and I, several years ago, were in Dover, England, and we're going to be there over a Sunday. We wanted to go to a church, so we looked up where a Baptist church was. We drove by that Baptist church on Saturday, and it was after Easter. It was a few weeks after Easter, and their marquee was completely covered over with an Easter invitation that was like a few weeks old. Easter would come and gone. So I couldn't even see what time their services started because of this overlaid thing, advertising Easter, which was in the past. So we came at what we thought was maybe an approximate time that church would start, and the doors were locked. And it was cold in England, and we were banging on the doors, and we could see people back in the back somewhere in a room, and so we kept knocking, knocking, knocking. Finally, someone came, let us in, and said, we're having biscuits and tea or whatever it is they have there. And so we said, well, we'll wait in the auditorium. We went in the auditorium. I promise you, the auditorium was colder than it was outside. I don't know how they did that, but the auditorium was colder than it was. And we had no idea. And we waited there for probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, something like that. And we decided, maybe we'll go worship God alone somewhere. And it just was a bad experience. You know what? By way of contrast, from the very first day we started coming here in May, ushers are out there, or red carpet people, what do you call them, greeters? Greeters? Yeah, they're out there shaking hands, saying hi, high-fiving, welcoming people, making people feel like, you're expecting them, and I appreciate that. A lot of churches don't start on time. I appreciate that Micah starts the church service on time. A lot of people don't come on time. I won't say a whole lot about that. A lot of times the signs are inaccurate and they have the wrong times or names on them, and lawn needs mowing. Not so here. It always looks good. Ushers ignore you. Sometimes as a visitor, you've probably had that experience of walking into a church and everybody kind of looks at you. But nobody says anything. Doesn't that make you feel special? Everybody just look at you.
Hey, Martha, who's that over there? I don't know. I've never seen him before. I know. Must be a visitor. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, and or the bulletin has the wrong date, or somebody sits at a piano and begins pounding out notes that really don't go together. We don't have that here. Or someone shuffles to the platform and says, "Now listen to the words. I have had a cold. I haven't had time to practice this song. So please just listen to the words." Or the bathrooms are filthy, or the church is dirty, or whatever. The sermon's long in time but short in content. Someone mutters a prayer and you get out of there as fast as you can. You know what? I think we ought to do what we do to the glory of God. I think we ought to do with what we have to the very best that we can for the Lord. There is an attraction of excellence. And what we do in word or deed, we ought to do well. Have you ever been to Scripps Green Hospital in La Jolla? Anybody ever been there? Yeah? It's like almost makes you want to get sick. It's like this beautiful place. They have this piano playing, and it's just beautiful inside. Have you ever been to a Ritz-Carlton? I've driven by. Or Lowe's Resort? You've driven by. Places like that. They do what they do with excellence. Have you ever studied, again, the physical attributes of the temple? I'm not talking about extravagance for extravagance's sake. I'm talking about we serve a holy God. We serve a God of creation. We serve a God of great power. We serve a God who is for real. We serve a God who cares about us. We serve a God who knit us together in our mother's womb. We serve a God who is omnipotent. We serve a God whose son is coming back one of these days to set up a kingdom. And we should not do God's work in a slipshod way. We should not be casual about witnessing and telling our friends and family about Jesus Christ. We should have purpose, and we should make sure that we do the best that we can. Imagine if we did evangelism and church services with the absolute best quality that we can. Andrew brought Peter to the Messiah. He said, we have found the Messiah, John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. We found the Messiah. Philip told Nathanael, John chapter 1, verse 46. The Samaritan woman at the well said, come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. And man, they turned out. I mean, the whole city came out because they wanted to hear what she had done. And I'm telling you, people brought people to Christ, and they were fervent about that. When is the last time, let me ask you a question, when is the last time you told someone, either through your casual, maybe at a restaurant, maybe friends, maybe neighbors, maybe at work, when's the last time you told someone that Jesus loves them and died for them and they can have everlasting life? When's the last time you planted the seed of the gospel? When's, you say, well, I don't know what to say. Then that's part of excellence, is studying and having a plan and letting people know that God loves them and that Jesus Christ died for them and that they can be right with him. So we ought to be like Nathaniel. We ought to be like Philip. We ought to be like the Samaritan woman. We ought to invite others to Christ because we're excited about what God has done in our lives, and we're excited about what God can do in their lives. And do you know this? And I'm sure you do. There is no one that is beyond the reach of Almighty God. In the Word of God, we have examples of murderers getting saved. We have examples of immoral people getting saved. We have examples of thieves and robbers getting saved. We have examples of, just every kind of people. When people will turn to God, when they will come to him for help and for hope. So listen up, First Baptist Church volunteers, what we do, we should do well because we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of all creation. When churches are sloppy in their program or appearance, they're not representing the Lord in the right way. And I'm not disrespecting humble or simple facilities. Some of the most excellent services I've been to have been churches out in the country where people just love God and let people know about God and do it very effectively. So there ought to be excellence in our evangelism. There ought to be you need to know some things about excellence, observations about it. Excellence takes hard work. It requires attention. I was reading, again, about David's mighty men. And listen to this, you military types, listen to this. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam, the Hakamite, who was leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Here's a guy with a spear. I'm not talking about a bazooka. I'm not talking about an automatic weapon. I'm talking about a spear, and he killed 800 warriors in a single battle. Next in rank among the three was Eleazar, son of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoa. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army had fled. They all left except for this guy and David. And he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword. And the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Isn't that great? After David and this warrior whipped the enemy, then everybody came back and said, oh, we'll help clean up the mess that's left here. Next in rank was Shammah, son of Agi from Harar. One time the Philistines gathered to Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils, and the Israelite army fled. But Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Once during the harvest, when David was at the cave of Adullam, the Philistine army was camped in the valley of Rephaim. And the three who were among the 30, an elite group among David's fighting men, went down to meet them there. And David was staying in the stronghold at that time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. And David just simply made a casual remark. He said, oh, how I would love to have some of the good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. I would love to have a drink of that water. What he was saying, you know what? I wish we were already had captured the city. I wish I could drink again from that fresh spring, that cool, clear, wonderful water there in Bethlehem by the main gate. So the three, without saying anything to David, the three said, you know what? We're going to go get David a drink out of that brook. And they broke through the enemy lines, and they drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and they brought it back to David. But David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. And he said this, the Lord forbid that I should drink this, he exclaimed. The water is as precious as the blood of these men. Literally, he said, I would be drinking the blood of these men who risked their lives to bring it to me. So David didn't drink. These are the examples of the exploits of the three. These were three mighty warriors. They were the best of the best of the best. They were at the very top tier. They were warriors that excelled. They and 30 others did more than all the rest put together. They could take on armies by themselves. One fought so long and so hard that his hand couldn't let go of the sword. And the other fought so long and so hard that he couldn't lift the spear. And they accomplished all of this. Almost supernatural feats because of their willingness to do the best they could with what they had. Well, hey, what about David himself? David himself went down into the valley and faced Goliath, and he took with him the 5 smooth stones and a sling, and there he killed the mighty giant of the Philistines because he was an excellent warrior. There's a difference in doing a good job and excelling. There's a difference in doing okay and doing the absolute best that we possibly can. Micah, where's Micah? Where are you? Yeah, over here. They could just come in and wing it on Sunday mornings, but they come in and practice, and they come in early on Sundays. I've seen them here during the week other times, and they practice, and they make sure that they do the absolute best job that they possibly can. Excellence becomes evident in the details. We have workers that we don't just take anybody and put them in with your kids and with your boys and girls. What we do is we fingerprint, we do background checks, we make sure that they're best, the best of the best of the best, and excellence takes diligence. Suppose you buy a new house, and it's a beautiful house, and it's an excellent house, and you live in it for a year, and then 2 years, and then 3 years, and you don't ever do anything for upkeep. What happens? It goes downhill all by itself. The grass, the paint, the windows, the weeds, it needs daily attention. And so does the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us need to look in our own hearts when we walk through these doors. Every single one of us need to pray as we come, Lord, if there's anything in my life that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit today at First Baptist Church, Lord, bring it to my mind. Help me confess it. Help me make it right. And help me to give my very best to you today. Mistakes will happen. Things will fall through the cracks. Let's find them and fix them when we can, but let's do all to the glory of God. Third point is this. There are actually negative results of striving for excellence. It's kind of hard to imagine, I guess, just on the surface, but there are negative results of trying to do the best that we possibly can. Because, first of all, you need to expect criticism. When you do the best that you can for the Lord, there are other Christians who are going to find fault with that. When you're talking to people about the Lord, there are other Christians who may be firing some darts at you, saying, you know what, that's personal. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't say that. You're liable to offend them. Folks, if we don't tell people about Christ and about heaven and about hell, who's going to tell them? And if you offend them, where are you going to run them off to? There's no hell number two or hell number three or hell number four. Everybody who's lost is going to hell. And we need to give them the message that God loves you and God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be forgiven and cleansed and to live with him forever and ever. Expect criticism. Well, they're trying to be too perfect. They're trying to be too evangelistic. They're trying to put on a performance. Then be ready also for disappointment, because failure will come. We will fail from time to time. We will try to do the best we can and not succeed in that. Excellence shouldn't produce arrogance, but it should produce humility. Because when we do the best we can, then we realize we still fall so far short of what we ought to be. God isn't through with us yet. God is growing us. God is working on us. God allows things to come into our lives to mold us and shape us and make us the absolute best that we can possibly be. We are like the Apostle Paul, where he says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be." The Apostle Paul. I mean, the guy who planted churches all over Asia, the guy who, I mean, unbelievable. He wrote most of the New Testament through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, "I'm still not what I ought to be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven." Number four, some practical advice about excellence. Set the standard for excellence early. When you start a ministry, whether you have Ronald McDonald House, or whether you have the men's breakfast, or whether you have ladies' Bible study, or whether you have a Sunday school class, fits, or whatever you do, set the standard high as we can at the start of the ministry. Otherwise, mediocrity becomes a habit. I just don't think we ought to be mediocre about the things of God. I think we ought to study the best we can. I think we ought to do the best that we can with what we have. Don't trust your own evaluation of the ministry you're involved in. Get someone else's input. Because we're a lot of times blind to our own weaknesses. Isn't that the case? We are blind to our own weaknesses. I was coming, driving today to church, and we got to 805 and the 54 exit, I think it was there. And so we're on the ramp, you know, to get off, and in the lane to get off. And all of a sudden, these two cars come whizzing around, three or four of us in line, and cut everybody off and go across like this little median thing and zip onto the 54. And I said, look at those guys. What in the world's the matter with them? My wife didn't say a word. But the Holy Spirit said, like, you haven't done that? And I said, like, I haven't done that myself. I said it out loud because I knew she was thinking that anyhow. So, you know what? It ought to be a humbling thing. It ought to be, well, don't trust your own evaluation. Ask others. Don't get offended when they tell you the truth. It'll help us do better. Only do that which can be done with excellence. We can't do everything. We can't offer everything as a church. You can't have every ministry there is to have. But what we do ought to be done to the glory of God. If a ministry or an activity isn't fruitful, isn't done right, isn't producing, then consider changing it. Or do something different. What are the seven last words of the church? Anybody know what the seven? We've never done it that way before. That's the seven last words of the church. Some things don't change, right? Doctrine doesn't change, should never change. The Word of God is established forever. But let's try to do the best we can in reaching people today in 2015. Encourage service in areas of giftedness. I feel like my gift is preaching. My gift is not singing. I would love to sing. But I'll promise you, if I started singing solos here on Sunday mornings, people would all of a sudden have all kinds of urgent reasons to be outside waiting for just a few minutes until that special was over. I don't have the gift of singing. Figure out what God has given to you, what God has made you for, and get involved, get plugged in. Check your ego and determine what your gifts are and serve there. Strive for excellence without extravagance. Have a sense of humor. Finally, brothers, Paul said, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Whatever we do, folks, do all to the glory of God. It's not glory for self. It's to the glory of God. Let me ask you this. Are you striving for excellence in your personal life? What are you doing right now to work on your personal walk with God? What are you doing right now to be better, a better evangelist, a better servant of God? How are you improving your walk with God? How are you improving your relationship with your family? Your spouse, if you're married? Your children, if you have children? What are you doing to make that relationship better? Excellent to the best of your ability. How about church? Do you have a ministry? Are you involved in a ministry? Are you doing something for the glory of God? Thank God for everybody here, but I'm going to tell you something. It's so much more than just coming and sitting. It's being involved. What can you do? You say, preacher, what can I do? I can't do that. You can pray. You can pray every single day for this church. You can pray that God would lead the man that he wants here to this pulpit. You can pray that God would give this church such an incredible name in the community that people from all around will come. You can pray that God will do great and mighty things right here at First Baptist Church. Are you inviting other people? Are you like Nathaniel? Are you inviting other people to come to the church? Are you inviting other people like the Samaritan woman come to the church? Are you out there? Look, we can advertise all day long, but the best advertisement is word of mouth. When you go and say, you know what, you need to come with me on Sunday morning because God's going to bless you there. If you're not doing those things, why not? What is your gift? What will you do for the glory of God? Do all to his glory. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Think about it for a moment. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for this church? And let me ask you this question. Whatever it is that you're doing, if you all of a sudden stop doing it, would it make a difference here? That's kind of a gauge of how involved you are. If it wouldn't make any difference, that's kind of sad. God's given you the opportunity to serve Him. And the way you serve Him is by serving His people. Because God doesn't need anything, but people do. Father, I pray that you would help us to strive to do all that we can to the best of our ability. Father, I pray that you would help us to determine to walk closer with you today than we did yesterday and closer to you tomorrow than we do today. Father, I pray that you would help us to become more like Christ. I pray that you would bring into our lives that which we need to make us more like you. And Father, I pray that every ministry that this church has, every opportunity we have to make a difference in the community would be done to the absolute best of our ability. Father, thank you and empower it, we pray. Give us, we pray, great fruit as a result. And Lord, I pray right now for someone who maybe is here and they know in their heart that if they died today, they would not be in heaven tonight. They know if they passed away this afternoon that they would be in hell and be separated from you forever and ever. Lord, I pray that you would show them that Jesus died for them, that he loves them, that he can forgive them, that he can cleanse them, that he can make them your child today. And I pray, God, they'd be willing to trust Christ. If that's you that I just spoke about with every head bowed, would you just pour your heart out to God? Would you say this prayer to God, something like this? Would you say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm lost. I know that I'm not what I ought to be. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all of my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I pray, God, you'd help me to serve you from this day forward. Make me part of your family. I pray in Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer, raise your hand up for a moment. Preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it with all my heart. Hold it up high for just a moment. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How about this? Every head bowed, still Christian? If I asked you today, if the Lord asked you today, are you doing everything that you're doing for me to the absolute best of your ability? What would your answer be? If the answer is no, would you consider saying, Lord, if you'll bring to mind how I can prove, if you'll help me, Lord, day by day, if you'll bring conviction into my life, if maybe even you use others to point out in my life what I need to do differently, Lord, I'll with the best I can, with the best ability I can, I'll seek to serve you with excellence, if that's your desire. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you raise your hand up real high? Hold it up real high. That's amazing. That's great. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of serving such an amazing God. I pray that, Father, you would grow up mighty men and women, just like these three that talked about in David, three mighty warriors, and then the 30 beyond them. God, may we be those kind of people. May we do all that we can for your honor and for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?